Welcome to the Rob, Comrad, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrad Mike Dabreski.
I don't care. We hate you. I don't care.
And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and KO podcast.
I'm not ashamed no more.
What's up, y'all?
I wanna do
welcome into the show.
That you love. Good.
Anyway, got a lot of stuff to get into this evening. As you hear the award-winning theme of the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show, sung to you by Marvin Cease, by the way, from good old Orangeburg, South Carolina. Yeah, buddy, gotta love that shit. Greatest song ever, by the way. Some comments. We'll get into these right now. Cody R. says the SEC is rigged. Tried to make it easy for Bama and UGA. Yeah. You're not spitting out anything that's not facts there, man. They want to make it good and easy for all of those SEC teams, man. That's what they want to do. They want to make it where we can, they're guaranteed to have at least one team in the college football playoff. That's what they try to do there. And, you know, this is what the SEC has done for a long, long time. The sad part is that living here in Columbia, South Carolina, I have to deal with a lot of dum-dums who make comments about the SEC and think it's the absolute best ever. And I've kind of been put out on an island because I've point-blank said that the SEC is a group of it's like a cult. It really is. Shout out to Pigskin Pete watching the show. The Comrade and Kale will be joining me momentarily, but Pigskin Pete joining the program over here in the chat room. As always, we appreciate him. You know, as we wait, we're gonna talk a little bit tonight about the SEC schedule drop and what's going on for there and with that. And we're going to have, I'm sure, the Comrade and Kale tell us that playing Ole Miss and Vanderbilt is the equivalent of playing an ACC schedule. Even though, let's be honest, the Gamecock schedule, if they played Clemson's schedule, they might go 4-6. Might. And, oh, Kale's asking me for the link. I just keep forgetting to send them the link. I thought I sent it to them earlier, but I will give it to them now. As they're over there in the chat room yelling at me. And the comrade's like, hello. The reality is that he can't stream the show. Cults kill people. Clemson don't. That's a good point. You know what? We're going to leave that up. There we go. From Pigskin Pete, that's the comment of the night. Kale's upset saying Jesus. What the hell are you saying Jesus for, Kale? I'm getting old, man. What, you know, what's your issue with that, Kale? I just sent it to you. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Anyway, so it's over there. It's in the thing for them to do their thing there as we get the music queued up for my friends as they come along here. Hopefully they're going to show up tonight. I was a little late in giving them the note here. Edwin says LSU schedule is the weakest it's been in years. At least he's honest. At least he's honest about that. I think that when you really stop and think about it, though, there's some teams that are probably pretty glad that they didn't get a chance to have out their wonderful schedule, including Auburn. But we'll talk about Auburn in just a moment. Welcome into the show, Carolina Jackpot, Kale Hall. What's up, my friend?
Welcome into the show. We already got started without me and the comrade.
I messed up, Kale. I admitted that. Yeah. I'm not perfect, Kale. I'm not perfect, Kale. So there you go with that. Hey, it is good to see you, though, Kale. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Sunday, my favorite day of the week. Weather today was not as hot as it's been in the upstate of South Carolina. It's been really unbearable the past couple months, but today was almost a perfect day. Got out there, got some yard work done. A whole lot accomplished today outside, and I'm just stoked about being here tonight to talk about whatever the subject on hand is.
We got a lot of stuff to get into. You know, the SEC drops their schedule tomorrow. That's a good thing. So tomorrow, I'm sure that if you're watching on the Carolina Jackpot channel, I'm sure that Kale will be coming on and telling us that playing back-to-back games with Mizzou and Vanderbilt back-to-back followed by Ole Miss is going to be an absolute, you know, debacle for South Carolina. I mean,
that's a lot
to look forward to tomorrow.
Did I read right that the first games are going to be announced on the Paul Feinbaum show, and then they're going to drop the rest of it?
Yeah, announcing the first three games on the first week of games.
Why are they choosing that fuckstick platform to them drop it on?
Because, Kale, you know why. I mean, deep down, you know why. Because the SEC sucks Alabama dick. And when you suck Alabama dick, you have to go where Paul Feinbaum is because, you know, every day Nick Saban's over there getting his knob polished by that damn Hogwarts looking motherfucker. You know that. You know, as well as I do.
The fact he's an Alabama knob polisher, he doesn't do nothing for me as far as college football goes. I really don't think he's that great of a sort.
He's not.
Hell, I'd rather listen to Tater Radio than listen to that dude.
Or you can listen to my fucking show. Why not support my fucking show, motherfucker?
Well, you're always on while I'm still working. You come on at 3:00 in the afternoon. Yeah, it's right about the time that I start really getting into the highlight of the day, and then we start winding down about 4:00.
Well,
you need to ask them get on at like 6:00. And I would listen to it on my way home. I would.
You can hear the music from the Russian national anthem there. The comrade, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy?
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Thanks for sending me to the
show. Got a lot to talk about this evening, man. Yeah, it's a good. Looking forward to tonight's show. Yeah. I want to apologize to you, gentlemen. I forgot to send you the link for the show. It's my fault. I will do better next time. I apologize for screwing up. So there you go with that. We were talking about just a second ago there, comrade, and it seemed to irk Kale because maybe Kale remembers back in 1991 when Paul Feinbaum was just a piece of shit writer and he wrote all this horrible stuff about South Carolina going to the SEC, and he talked about South Carolina shouldn't be there, etc. Gamecock fans seem to forget that. If you watch the Paul Feinbaum show now, it's always – you know, insert jerk-off name here from Columbia, jerk-off name here from Lexington, jerk-off here name from Bamberg. I mean, they want to be the Alabama rednecks. They're fucking running around in their fucking trailer park trying to, you know, I don't know, win the redneck Olympics that they have with Alabama. But it's the Paul Feinbaum show tomorrow. They announced the first week of the season. What's wrong? Hey, there's nothing wrong with Bamberg. I'm a proud South Carolinian.
Okay. I'm Kale from Ainer.
Kale from Ainer. I can guarantee you this, and comrade will agree with me on this. There are three people on this show that live in this fine fucking state. Only two of them know where Ainer and fucking Bamberg are. One of us doesn't.
I know where both of them are.
Should we know that?
I think Ainer, I don't know where Bamberg is. I have no fucking clue. But Ainer is down somewhere near Myrtle Beach because I know when I go to the beach, I see signs for Ainer on the way to the beach because I always make a joke to my wife or in the car, like Ainer.
Yeah. It's right across the Marion County line in Horry County on the way to Myrtle Beach. So, that's the back of it.
I know that, but Bamberg, I could not tell you. Guessing it's probably if I had to guess.
It's in Bamberg County. It's near Orangeburg.
It's in Bamberg County.
I'd say the southwestern part of the state. Am I close?
Yeah, somewhat.
That's the county seat of Bamberg County, but Denmark is actually the biggest metropolis in Bamberg County. They have a Roses there and a Piggly Wiggly.
A Roses and a Piggly Wiggly. That's all important.
Yeah, so they're high, and they may actually have a Food Line too. Hey. I'm not sure.
Hey,
P Digits says Columbia is a dumpster. Okay, first of all,
yes,
I think Columbia personally is heaven on earth.
Oh, goddamn.
And my wife kind of teased me about this. I think Columbia is the greatest place in the world. And I'm not from here, but, you know, it speaks. Now, I live in Northeast Columbia. It's okay. But, like, downtown Columbia, around campus and the areas around campus, right. It's the greatest place in the world. I don't live down there anymore, unfortunately, because we have family. It's a little easier to raise kids out here. But I just
you might get shot.
No, it's not that. It's just because, you know, housing and school.
Oh, goddamn.
But I love going downtown Columbia. Like, I go down there, and it just smells different. I feel happy. Feels like it's home to me. I go to New York. I don't really feel like it's home. It's weird. I go to New York now. I don't really feel that's home. But if I go down to Columbia, I feel like this is where I belong. And I told my wife that when I die, hopefully a long time from now, she's going to spread my ashes around the horseshoe and around campus. That's where I'm going to be. That's where I'm going to be.
Yeah, we'll spread it.
It's a great place because you get to experience the best of all worlds in the state of South Carolina when you're in Columbia. I remember one time when I was eating down there at California Dreaming.
Yep.
On the south part of Assembly Street. Close to Williams-Brice Stadium, you're up in that perch there.
Yep.
And if you can look to your left and you see a parking lot where you see palmetto trees out here and sand and all this stuff, and you think the beach. And I look to my right, like way over my shoulder, and I mean, I can actually see with the clouds coming down, the outline here of the Blue Ridge Mountains, right to the north. I mean, you're like you're in the epicenter of everything that is great about South Carolina.
Hold on,
California Dream, you can see the stadium, and you can see the Capitol building. I believe in California Dream.
No, I didn't even mention that.
Yeah, I mean, if depending on where you're sitting,
you can't see the fucking mountains from California Dream. Holy fucking shit!
You can see the Capitol building. Yeah, the stadium.
You see fucking green. This is what you see in California Dream. You see greens. A goddamn liquor store, and you have to fight with people going in to get their $5.
You gotta look beyond that.
Yeah, if you look beyond green, though, you can't see the baseball park, but you can see the glow of titles from the baseball park in the sky. You know it's over there.
You can't see shit from there. Holy shit!
I was walking on campus one time. I got on campus one time walking around, and I looked in the sky for the glow, and I knew the ballpark. I knew where I was. I got my bearings straight. So I mean, it does. I mean, back in the zone, so it does it.
I took my son Joseph, who's 19 now. We went to a game at Williams-Brice in like 2007 when we played Louisiana Lafayette or some turd burger. And we got there really late because I had worked like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we parked in one of those parking lots that's way back from Willie B. And actually, not far from California Dreaming and near the old Columbia Met Stadium. And we're walking to the game parking lot and all over this culvert. There was a bunch of shit churned up here, and there were like oyster shells and seashells here. And I'm like, look, son. I'm like, look, it's just seashells here. I mean, this used to be the beach. And you look up there, you see it, and you see the peak of the mountains. I'm like, we are in the epicenter of just beauty. I mean, it's everything that is wonderful about the state right here. It's wrapped up into one huge package.
That's true.
With a garnet.
Heaven on earth, it really is. It's the greatest place in the world.
Yeah, I it's not. As I said, the only good thing about South Columbia is you're 100 miles from the beach and 100 miles from the mountains. So it's just the midway point.
And
it's
a shithole. You're about 55 years from Clemson.
So
you're about 55 years from Clemson. You go back 55 years. You go up to Clemson, it's like a time machine. I mean, it really is. People say time machine's impossible. It's
I didn't
not.
Say anything about Clemson, sir.
If you were talking about Columbia, time machine, can't happen. Time travel can happen. Drive from Columbia to Clemson. You
What's
go
going
back
on
what,
with you guys
years?
Tonight.
P Digits over on YouTube says that Greenville's South Carolina, I guess Gamecock dominance that ended 6 years ago. He's right. He is totally correct. Now in Greenville, all that you see when you ride around is that ugly damn orange and purple shit, and the stickers, decals, the clumps and stuff on them. Half of them put on incorrectly, might I add. But yeah, you can't. I mean, there were when I was growing up, I was a kid growing up around here, and mind you, Greenville has changed a lot from like 1990 until today. About back then, when I was, like a sophomore in high school, so 1990. I mean, it had like a really homey feel here. I mean, it's like it was a small town, but it wasn't. It was a little bit bigger.
It's home like of the Greenville Braves.
Still, yeah, home of the Greenville Braves.
Jones
you kind of still knew everybody. Him and David Justice and John Smoltz and Steve Avery, all those dudes. But now it's just like we got people from all over the place here. But you see Clemson shit all over the place now. But you didn't see that a few years ago. I'm telling you, those Clemson people now, half of them, their Gamecock flags are in the trunk right beside the Florida State flags. They got the Clemson shirt on right now.
Though. Real quick, Pigskin Pete.
Hold on. I thought you two ramble on long enough about this. Clemson fans were never fucking Florida State fans.
I disagree. How many Florida State fans you see on Facook now? Really?
I don't go looking for them.
A dime a dozen. Okay. They were a dime a dozen back in 2014. Now they're like on the back of a milk carton. I don't know a damn one.
Pigskin
my buddy Zane Childers. He's ride or die.
No one in the entire world vacations in Columbia. That is false, Pigskin Pete. That is a bold-faced lie, and I'll tell you why.
That's a bunch of crap.
First of all, the reason I discovered Columbia and the great university was because Papa Comrade did vacation here. Because you know who vacations in Columbia? Golf fans. Why? Because when they come down for the Masters, you can't get a hotel room in Augusta. You know where you stay? You stay in the chosen land, Columbia. And every year, he had Masters tickets, and he would come and stay in Columbia. I came with him like once or twice. That's how I discovered the great university, because on one of our trips, about 15 or 16, we kind of went to a spring game. I walked around the campus, and that kind of set the stage. So that is a bold-faced lie, Pigskin Pete. People do vacation in Columbia only for the biggest golf tournament in the world.
Yeah.
A lie.
Yeah. Well, what the comrade is saying is that they get as close as they can to Augusta. That's basically what it boils down to. In all actuality, they'd rather be staying in Augusta, which is 70 miles from here. But
Augusta is a shithole, except for they have a great golf tournament. Okay, the whole place is crappy. They have that one little parcel of land is like heaven. Everything else is crap. So no one stays in Augusta.
Fuck out of here, dude.
Augusta's horrible.
I want to give a shout-out over on YouTube to Mr. Umadbra. He's a Clemson fan. He said, talking about, vacation place, he said he likes Fripp Island in South Carolina. I got a story about that. I went down there from the time I was probably 6 years old till at least 13 or 14. We used to stay at this place, and my mom and dad used to, like, break it up with my aunts and uncles. We'd stay at this place. There was a lady that she had used to work with. That had retired, that had a house on Fripp Island. She used to rent it out for like, and this is back in the 1980s, and she rented it out for like $700 a week, which is a lot of money back then. They all pooled their money together, and we would go down there and stay at Fripp Island, which is like in the very, very far tip of Beaufort County. And it's really, if you're swimming,
Conrad,
it's only like 10 miles from Hilton Head, but if you travel by car, it's like an hour and a half to get to Hilton Head because you have to go all the way back to Beaufort and all the way back to Hilton Head. But that is a really, really pretty place. They used to be really big into like the sea turtle conservation stuff, and it was secluded, it was private, and it made me feel like we were rich when we went down there. But yeah, I hadn't been down there in a long time. I don't know what's changed, but Fripp Island is a very, very nice place in South Carolina. It's almost like being I don't know. It was like the most tropical thing that I could ever imagine, the state of South Carolina. Great place.
If you want to respond to Noah Sheldon 500 there, Kaylee says, you can just tell Jackpot is a secret Alabama fan. You know what? That wouldn't surprise me.
Let
me finish. Maybe at one point in your childhood, you were an Alabama fan, and you kind of just – just kind of went the way of South Carolina. You chose the wrong path. Maybe that's what happened to you. I mean, when you came out, they slapped you on the ass and said, this guy is doomed to be a fan of failures. Which one is it?
Oh, God, man. I never even paid attention to them. When I first started noticing Alabama, I mean, and really, it was like I knew who Bear Bryant was when I was a little kid, and I knew that the coaches that they hired after him were shitty. And the most I really paid attention to them was like in 1992, when I was in high school, when Gene Stallings and Alabama played Miami in the national championship game. They beat the hell out of them.
Who was that?
Wore their ass for a hat, and I thought that was funny because I couldn't stand Miami. They're a bunch of overrated, loudmouth, disingenuous pricks, and I was glad to see them get their ass whooped. But that was the first time I ever really paid attention to them. Then a couple of years later, we entered the SEC, and we played Alabama, and I believe in like our second game in the conference, and they beat us like 5-0. They beat us in Tuscaloosa. And that was the game afterwards. I think Sparky Woods' players revolted against him at halftime, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But then we played them next year in Columbia, and it was kind of a closer game. Like, we lost to them, but it was like maybe like 14-6 or something like that. But yeah, that's the first time I really started noticing Alabama. People, so you can take my fake Alabama fandom from my prenatal days and shove it right where the sun don't shine, because it never existed.
Tiger Nation says Comrade is a cross-dresser. You feel that, Comrade?
They found me out. My secret is never safe.
Holy shit. Lots of great stuff from the comments tonight. What was it? Pete Digit says that CJ is why he listens to this pod. Well, thank you, CJ, or Pete Digit. Hopefully you'll enjoy the other two portions of the show. If not, just come for Jackpot, because Jackpot's enough on his own.
Shout out to Jerome Pruitt over on Facebook or YouTube Live. Jackpot spurs up till his toes up. Exactly right.
Damn right.
I got that line from a loser from Sumter, South Carolina, but I made it famous. He's the one that just happened to come up with it.
Comrade doesn't know where Sumter is either.
I know where Sumter is. I used to date a girl that lived in Sumter back in a long time ago, so I used to make that drive once in a while. So I know
that's
Sumter
something
is.
That it's a lot of people throw that at you, Comrade, that you are. I mean, I've seen that in comments before. People think that you're gay and that you should come out. And not that there's anything wrong with gay people, but I don't know if they do that because of your lisp or what. What the hell is that, man?
They're just jealous of the tail I used to get back in the day. Now I'm settled down. That's about
did you really get tail with that lisp of yours? Did you walk up and say
all the time? All the time.
Let me.
All the time.
Pigskin Pete says. Pigskin Pete says he dated a girl from Sumter. Holy shit, that's hilarious. All right, well,
Tiger Nation, please, let's not compare. I could take 1 month of my freshman year, and you could pick the month, and then compare to your lifetime, and you'd probably be down by about 10. in terms of women. Just 1 month my freshman year of college. In your lifetime, Tiger Nation, you lose by 10. I'd spot you 10. Okay.
Well, why don't we thank our
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. You thought Cooter was a guy from the Dukes of Hazzard? No, no. It was the Comrade. He was the original Cooter.
Were you there with the balls, Kale, so you could keep track of everybody that he hit? What the hell did you know? Come on, Kale.
I've heard stories. Fucking legend, dude. God damn.
Legend.
If you were living in the Roost in the early 90s, it was hard not to.
Oh, shit.
They were the waiting for
anyway.
It was a place. It's just, I can't even describe it.
Comrade, let's do the DNC Trucking and Transport segment here, of course. Courtesy of DNC Trucking and Transport, the No Spin Zone segment. Brought to you by Dennis Wilson and the fine folks at DNC Trucking and Transport. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. I wish that I had a man with a character that Dabo Sweeney has to run my football program. I support a football program that has historically been a disaster on the field, on and off the field. My program currently is on probation. My basketball program is facing level one recruiting violations. I continue to bury my head in the sand and claim that everything is awesome, and it's not. Betty Wilson hates me. I am the reason Cale Hall pisses in the sink. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Also, from the folks from Callaway's Bar and Grill, we appreciate them. They are going to sponsor our Callaway's Pick'em Challenge, which you can enter, by the way, if you want some extra money over the holidays, if we have football season. You can enter $20. We pick 5 games a week. Generally, we pick the South Carolina-Clemson games, and then we have like the 3 other good games. But since Cale is now a full part of the show this year, we're going to have the Cale special every week. And this is going to be a game that Cale himself is going to pick. We're not going to know what it is until the night of. And last year Cale had some winners. It was like Boise versus, I don't know, some team from the Midwest. I have no clue who the fuck these people are.
This year I'm not gonna get to do those that we have to really dive in and do research on, like last year. UConn versus UMass. All that's out the damn window. Because none of those wussies are playing football.
Yeah. COVID ruined the Cale Hall special this year.
It's a real conference game.
He can pick Sun Belt games. He can pick Sun Belt games.
That's true.
Just saying.
Could be the Cale Hall Sun Belt pick of the week.
Sun Belt
pick of the week. You just lie in wait for that South Alabama, Georgia Southern shit.
You fucking right I do. I tell you what, ask Will Muschamp about Georgia Southern. He don't want nothing to do with that shit.
He's lost to 2 Sun Belt teams.
Of course he has. That's your coach.
He lost to one of them before they were even in the Sun Belt. Jesus Christ. Was Georgia Southern or were they not? They were FCS when he lost to them.
They were FCS. Yep. Jesus now, the comrade Christ over there, he's spinning. You can't count that as a Sun Belt loss, Rob, because they weren't in the Sun Belt. That's exactly what this idiot was thinking. True.
That's how they go the records. They don't, you know, when Syracuse beat the guys in the Gator Bowl, that's counted as a loss with Syracuse and the Big East then. That counts as a loss with the Big East, okay? Doesn't count as a conference game. They don't come back, okay, that was a conference game. No, you count it when the game was played, what conference were the teams in. That's why everyone goes, the Clemson Carolina record. I pull up the SEC. I pull up the SEC or the Gamecock record versus the ACC, and it's only got like games listed since 1952. Or the Clemson's record versus the SEC only got 28 games against the Gamecocks because they've only played the Gamecocks 28 times in the SEC. People go, that's not accurate. That's an old stat. I'm like, no, jackass.
I wanted to ask a question. I want to bring this up just to get opinions. And I'm gonna do a video on this later in the week because it just came to me in a brainstorm while I was in the facilities earlier this evening. Which team between the Gamecocks and the Clemson Tigers not having that game this year, which one does it hurt the most? Who's it hurts the most?
I mean, to be honest, I think that, and once again, I'm going to get shot down from this from all the Gamecock fans, but I think it hurts the hurts South Carolina the most, because if it's at the end of the season, they could have something to shoot for and have a feel-good thing going into the next season. And if Will Muschamp wins that game, it gets over well with the fan base. And, I mean, what does it bring for Clemson? Not really much of anything.
You can also look at it from the perspective of on the offhand chance that South Carolina is actually surprising people and say they win those SEC games, say they're coming into it with a 6-4 record, and they're decent, and they're on the fringe of the top 25.
Yeah.
And Clemson's played a bunch of shit burgers up until this point, that it could actually bolster their strength of record as far as getting into – let's say Clemson lost a game, but they need something to bolster their strength of record so they can still get into the playoffs. So they got upset by somebody.
Well, with all due respect to your point there, Jackpot, I don't think that that's going to matter, because there's only going to be three Power 5 teams that are going to be in the mix. And I think that teams may stumble from here to there. I honestly don't think that playing South Carolina brings anything to the schedule for Clemson. And you've got the other adage, too, that the SEC doesn't have non-conference games. I mean, I guess we're looking in a vacuum here, but – on the other front, I mean, do you really look at these non-conference games as anything to really lay your hat on? I mean, I just truly don't see it. I've said for years, it's a Super Bowl for South Carolina, and it'll be a really big Super Bowl this year.
Listen, bottom line,
why would it be really big this year? Clemson this year, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that offense is going to be off the chain. I mean, I think Clemson's going to average 40-plus points this year, but that defense, a little suspect, man. A little suspect, especially in that defensive backfield, that back four. You could be in for some trouble.
Let me explain something real quick now. It's a bigger loss for Clemson, and I'll tell you why. Because despite how crappy we are right now, we are your standard. And why do I say that?
No, you're not.
We have never hired a coach based on, did he beat Clemson? No. But you hired a coach based on, did he beat us? Dabo Swinney got the job because he beat us. Bottom line, we are your standard. So you based on beating us. Bottom line.
No, it's not about you.
I can pull the article out. Dabo's
coach. I don't give a shit. You can pull out whatever you want.
And the AD goes, another AD, the board of trustee guy, was sitting there walking the field. Well, what you think? And he goes, point to the scoreboard. That's what I think right there. He's a man. Okay? Bottom line, we are your standard. It hurts you because you can't play against your standard. Bottom line.
Well, I tell you what. I thought about that, and I queued up because I want to try to believe the comrade. So I thought that I would add the wheel of death tonight. Is the comrade correct? As you can see here, we've got everything on the wheel, and we'll see what happens when we spin the wheel tonight. Is the comrade right about what he said about Clemson being South Carolina being the standard for Clemson? Let's see what the wheel says. Spin around, round and round and round it goes. What does it stop on? Comrade is dumb as fuck. Imagine that. The wheel knows. How is it rigged, Kale?
Rigged like one of those damn balloon toss games at the county fair. When you throw a softball, those damn weighted milk bottles that weigh like 20-pound pieces, you'll never fucking knock them over.
It's not. Look, man, just look at the wheel again. Look at this. There's the answer right there. Look. Oh, we'll spin it again. One more time, just for the record. Come on, warm it up. Oh. Comrade is dumb as fuck again.
Jesus Christ, I've never seen anything so chipped in my life.
You're the real Russian, you damn scamming bastard.
I'm just saying. That's hilarious, man. What's up with that? You want to argue against the wheel? Come on, man.
The wheel is full of crap.
The wheel's, we could spin it again if you want. How many times do you want to spin it? Spin all fucking night. I don't give a shit.
He was hired because he beat us. Bottom line.
All right. Well, the wheel says that you're full of shit. But,
unnamed source that says that Dabo Sweeney has a picture of Chris Smelly on his desk somewhere, a small picture, because he knows that's why he has a job.
Yeah.
Pastor somewhere right now if it wasn't for Chris Smelly. You know, where they are preaching to this congregation of 300 people.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's talk about something really quick here. Colin Coward said in an interview the other night that he thinks that the college football season with the three Power Five conferences that are left, he thinks they're going to cancel by the end of this week. So I thought we would talk about just for a second here on the front of with the SEC, what percentage chance are you thinking we're going to have games on September the 26th? Because there's a lot of messages coming from a lot of national folks that are saying, yeah, I don't see how this is going to happen. The NCAA put out their thing the other day where they're like, yeah, I don't know how it's going to happen either. Me personally, I'm in the camp of I think the SEC is going to play even if they're by themselves. I truly believe that. And I think the ACC is going to follow, but from a percentage chance thing there.
Well, ACC can't follow. ACC goes first. You guys are going first, so we're right, going to follow you.
Well, but okay, and that's fine. However you want to put it, but I think that as far as percentages of conferences that are going to quit first, I think it's Big 12, then ACC, and then the SEC. I think that all three will – it's probably an 80% chance that all three will go. But for the SEC, it's in the 90 percentile with me now because the SEC basically fuck everybody but us, and that's kind of where they are. What do you guys think about that?
I said back in April there'll be no season, and I hope I'm wrong. And I kind of think they're going to play, I think they're going to play some games. I'm 50-50 on that. I don't think the SEC will play any games. I think by the 26th, I think it will be pretty clear they can't continue. But I think the 12th, you might see a week of games. Right. I can't get to that point. I think it's 50-50 that way. I think by the 26th, which what the SEC did this whole thing was to watch the NFL and watch the ACC and the Big 12 kind of go first and see – what it is. So I think it's a 50-50 chance we get to the 12th. I think it's about a 20% chance we get to the 26th. And then finish the whole season, like a 5% chance. And I hope that I'm dead wrong and they play the whole season out, even though it's not a full normal college football season. They play the whole season out. We get 10 conference games. The SEC should be great to see. Great TV. Listen, and there's doctors on both sides. So there are doctors that believe they can play, and there's doctors that believe they can't. So no one knows. If you say you know, you're full of shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of doctors on Facebook too.
I follow the chiropractor David Butts. He gives me absolutely pristine information. He's a chiropractor on Wednesday, and then on Friday he's a dentist, and he's telling me things that you can pour bleach into your system and get rid of the COVID and everything else. So it's really hard to find good concrete information. But there are real
doctors though who think they can play a season.
Take into account what the doctor from Duke said, and we can mock Duke or whatever, but their medical facilities and the stuff they put out there is second to none across the country. And the doctor that's the head of the communicable diseases there says, yeah, you can play. But what's your percentage on that front, man?
No, I think these seasons are going to happen. I think they are.
I think the conferences that have who have committed themselves to playing the season, I think they're going to do it. I mean, the cases are dropping. I saw the other day, what was it, 45 out of 50 states, and the cases had dropped. I mean, this isn't just a thing. And I did a video on this other week. I said, there ain't no way we can have a damn season. But, I mean, my thing has changed. I mean, this is just something we got to live with. We have got to live with it. We've got to coexist with it. And the numbers are dropping. And I do, with school starting back, not only just, the high school and elementary levels, but also in college, I think the numbers are probably – go back up a little bit, but I think it'll go back down, and I think they're gonna have a season, man. And I expect it to be something like baseball. I mean, we've got some teams like the Braves who have played every game. I mean, pretty much. I mean, as far as I know, without any interruption, with anything going wrong. And then you've got some teams like the Florida Marlins who've had a shit ton of games canceled in St. Louis. Right. And I could see that happening with the college, like ones like the Gamecocks who are, smart about it and, doing all the right things and get to play all their games. And I could see a team like Tennessee or your Clemson or somebody like that who's probably not quite as smart. Not quite as educated. I mean, a few things happen. They have to cancel, some games, but they still get to play the majority of them. I think that's going to happen, man. I really do. I don't. I mean, we're too far along in this thing, baby. We're too far along. We're vested right now. We are vested, and just a disappointment right now, like dropping the damn hammer. I mean, you talking about these guys just making some damn enemies.
I think the biggest thing is, the NFL, I think, has a better chance just because, first of all, testing costs like $50 a test. And I heard, Muschamp kind of leaked this out, and I'm not sure he's supposed to. He was told that they were to get two tests a week. Like, every player would get tested twice a week. So that's $100 a player a week. Okay, multiplied by what, 60 kids? So the reason why
$6,000?
Yeah. So the reason why the small conferences are kind of going are not playing is because that's part of the issue. And the reason why the SEC is not playing out of conference games is because they can't test them in that way too. So the NBA
$6,000 a week is not that much money.
Well, I mean for the Power Five conferences, no. But
there is something that I wanted to throw out there really quick, and this is something from the state newspaper today. The University of South Carolina students are all coming back, and the mayor of Columbia, Steve Benjamin, is talking about putting a curfew in place because I think everyone, from what I read in the article, moves back in over this weekend. That like they opened half the dorms yesterday, half the dorms today. And
love it. Taking precautions, man. I mean,
Yeah, well, he's talking about putting in
smart people do, and smart cities do.
Well, okay, but let me finish. He wants to put an actual curfew in place like we had back at the lockdown, but basically just to keep the students out of Five Points. And I think that I'm a small government guy, not trying to put my politics out there, but I don't like the idea of the government telling you what to do. But I kind of agree with what Steve Benjamin is saying, and he's got the backing of President Kaslin at South Carolina. Though President Kaslin gave himself an out, saying students are going to do whatever the hell they want to do. But the reality is that I don't think that it's a bad idea for, say, the first week to have, when you're easing people back in, I keep the kids out of Five Points for the first week. But then when you really stop and think about it, they're going to end up – they're not in Five Points. They're going to go to somebody's house, and they're going to be partying anyway. But the reality is, I come back down to this, though. If your program takes it seriously, and I don't – like Muschamp in South Carolina haven't really put out what they've done, so I can't really comment on that. I know they're taking it seriously at Clemson. You can see by the number of tests that have went up. And then obviously went back down. if they're taking it very seriously, you can protect it within a bubble-like atmosphere. With all these students coming back, I think that's going to be a problem. I personally think that if I were running a Power 5 team right now, I had the capability of having all of my athletes in one building, I would do so, and I know Clemson has their own standalone dine-in facilities and stuff like that. I would do where my guys were doing all their classes virtually for the first little bit here, maybe the first semester, and then have them eating in the same facility, basically make up my own bubble like what the NBA does, and then go from there. Side note on this, I firmly believe this too. The organizations that went head on into this, I'm all about doing the social distancing and everything else, and I think that we need to take this seriously. But the organizations that jumped out front with their plans and basically told the people on social media to go fuck themselves, those are the ones that have done the best with it. Ice hockey, if you look at what the NHL has done, it's perfect. Same thing goes for the USC, where Dana White basically rented his own island. I mean, that's basically what he did. And the same thing goes for the NBA. They did the research and went from there. With baseball, it's different, though, because the union kind of screwed that up, which is why you got, I think, a lot more cases, because people are flying on planes with recycled air and they have the ability to spread it. But
for baseball, they're asking for the whole season. For hockey, mm-hmm. and the NBA, it's just for the playoffs. I mean, they would never do a bubble for the whole NBA season. The players wouldn't agree with that.
I agree with you, but you have to admit, with the way that the NBA has it, though, I mean, it's been pretty been efficient.
Baseball may do their playoffs in a bubble. They may decide to choose two locations and do it that way. But, but college, you know, I think you're going to see – I'm not sure you can do a bubble in college. I'm thinking about the scrub four-string player, okay? And you're asking them to not go to a party, to not walk over to the dorm and see a bunch of girls and guys at the party and not do that. You know, that's a lot to ask, okay?
And it is a lot to ask. I mean, they're college kids.
Exactly. And I don't think you should shame them. Like, and listen, it's going to happen. And I know myself at that age. And one, you think you're invincible. You think, well, I'm going to be fine if I get it. And, you know, you want to have lived the college life. So I just think it's a lot to ask. And to, you're going to have those blowups. Like Kale mentioned, you know, we see pro teams have it. You're going to have some college teams that just, you know, are out for 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, so you're going to see that too. If we play a season, you're going to see some teams that don't play the 10 games. They might play 5 games. They might play 6 games, you know, whatever it is, you know, and whatever. And the Gamecocks may have to cancel their games against LSU, you know, and those games. And maybe we beat Vanderbilt and we beat Arkansas and we beat Ole Miss and – we can't play any more games. We go 3-0, and
you won't play and we're
the champions.
We're
the champions, and
comrade, listen to your co-host. I don't think you play Arkansas.
I'm just gonna name. I'm gonna name some. I wish you play them.
Don't play them. Why should we not play them in the conference championship game?
That is true.
It's possible.
They could be less standing. So. I mean, those are things that happen. I have a feeling that LSU
LSU may
get infected on purpose, so they have to play us. There's rumors about that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. We're taking calls this evening for the last little bit of the show, 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. If you would like to join us here on the show, we're talking about that. And we could talk a little bit about the SEC schedule that's going to be released tomorrow. I'm betting that South Carolina will open with Mizzou. It's just a guess. I think that that's the route it'll go. I mean, I have a 10% chance of being correct.
I want LSU week one.
So you want to open up on the road at LSU? Is that where you want to start?
Because I want to play some big games in case we get canceled.
I want a championship schedule. Don't run from it. Don't run from it. I can't stand
these
people.
If we went to LSU, beat them, and the season got canceled afterwards. 1-0, okay? play one game, didn't lose 2020, beat LSU. All right, and look at Clemson. Hey, man, we played LSU in 2020 as well. We won our
That's
game.
That's my thing, Rob. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I cannot stand Gamecock fans who brag. On one hand, I've said this in a bunch of my videos too, beat that chest like a damn drum about being in the SEC. And then on the other hand, they'll sit over here and bitch about schedule being tough. You're in the SEC. That's what you fucking wanted. It's supposed to be a tough schedule. It's supposed to be a championship schedule. Don't bitch about it being fucking tough. I don't want to hear that. The schedule's ranked number one in the preseason, ranked number one last year. It was the number one toughest schedule. If you want to take us or Texas A&M back and forth, you can do that between who was number one and who was number two with the toughest schedule. I'm like, hell yeah, man. It's a championship schedule. And guess what? We're number fucking one at something, right? Sure. Yeah.
Well, no, I can appreciate what Kale's saying because he's like, you know what? We want to see what the fuck we've got. I can agree with that. If you have that 10-game schedule and you have what you've got LSU and you've got Georgia and you've got Florida, which are three top 10 teams, and Texas A&M, if you have that 10-game schedule and you go 7-3, but you lose three of those games to three, you know, really good teams, you can look at it at the end of the football season and say, you know what, we got a hell of a fucking team here. Look at what we had. I can understand that. There's no fake banana in that. What I mean is that you're not going to go 10-0 and think, okay, are we sorry or not? I mean, I can respect that from Kale. I think the thing that bugs me, though, is that when you have Gamecock fans talk about this wonderful SEC schedule, it's just like Kale said, and then they bitch about it on the other end of it, too. That's just stupid to me. And then the other front, too, where – they talk about playing these tough SEC games, but in actuality, you don't get Alabama every year. You don't get LSU every year. You don't get Auburn every year. So it's not like you're getting the absolute best of the West. And let's be honest, the East has been second rate to the West for a long time now. I can't remember the last time the East – what was it? East has like what, one win this decade in the SEC championship game, if I'm correct or not. Either way, it's just – it's frustrating, though, when you hear that. So I kind of agree with Kale on that.
Well, you know, I mentioned this before. I'm not sure if Kale was in the show when I mentioned this last year. But you know, I make the case of basketball. Okay, the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of envy Clemson in basketball in terms of their schedule. Like, I would love to go to the Colonial Center for a bunch of big games here. To play Duke mm-hmm. and the Tar Heels, and you know, and this even teams like NC State that maybe not be may not have a good year that year, but they're basketball schools, and so there's lots of games to circle. And the Gamecock schedule, it may turn out to be kind of tough some years, some teams are better than others, but there's not many games circle on the Gamecock basketball schedule. And I told you during football season last year, I feel bad for Clemson football because how many games do you have circled during the year? Like, oh, this is a big game. This is a big game. And for the Gamecocks, they got a bunch of big games, okay, playing Georgia, playing Florida, playing Tennessee. And Tennessee's up and down, but they're a football school. You know, football's their thing.
They're down.
Okay? Playing LSU.
They're down.
Okay? And so you have all these big games. So
we'd be in Indiana.
I don't get when Gamecock fans complain about the schedule. That's the best part of being in the SEC is that you have a bunch of Saturdays where you're playing really good teams and you get to kind of match up with them. And as opposed to, you know, like in basketball, I missed before, you're playing kind of these nondescript basketball teams with the crowds are crappy, kind of like the ACC football crowds are, crappy atmosphere. And, you know, it's different things. So it's the same idea. So I don't get Gamecock fans either who complain about the schedule. That's the best part is like, man, look at all these big games we have this year. We have all these chances to kind of, you know, pull an upset or to kind of make our mark. And we're going to be on TV and we can upset some of these teams. So that's like the big thing. So if we have a full season this year, it's going to be pretty cool to see us play LSU. And
Rob, to answer your question, the only SEC East team, I think, that has won the conference championship game since 2010, I believe, is Georgia in 2017. Yeah. They beat Auburn. That's kind of bad. That's kind of sad.
The East just isn't as good as the West. I mean, it's not even really up for debate, in my opinion. We got a voicemail that I want to play here.
It's all about one team, though. It's all one team. So.
Well, the Gamecocks in 2010, if the ball bounces a couple of different ways in that game, I think we beat Auburn.
Get the fuck out of here.
And if you want to talk about a thing bouncing the wrong way in 2013, old Balls had had his head in the game against Tennessee, and we had rode that one out and gotten that victory in that game, we would have been in Atlanta in the SEC championship game against an Auburn team that we could have beaten. So who knows where that would have gone.
Yeah.
Facts. Let's play this voicemail.
Gamecocks against Jameis in Rose Bowl.
Wow. Let's hear this voicemail.
Woo! Trying to call a comrade. Ha-ha! The Rudy of Gamecock football. Shut your mouth, pal. You're the worst.
Thanks for calling the show. Jesus. I don't know who it is, but
that sounds like Rachel
Maddow. You're welcome to call in the show at 803-470-2905.
Why is Rachel Maddow calling the show?
Why is Rachel Maddow calling the show? I don't know about all that.
You got a haircut like Rachel Maddow.
803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. Gardenia Queen watching on YouTube. Appreciate you watching the show, ma'am. I wish Clemson were in the SEC. Thank you for that.
Hayward tried to call in.
Hayward, call back. Hayward. The phone lines are open and ready to go for you, sir. 803-470-2905. I am watching the phone line right now. Brock says he hates Will Muschamp. Let's be honest. Clemson would do pretty bad if Trevor Lawrence went down for the season in the first game. You know, I know I'm a Clemson guy on the show, but I think they'd be fine.
Let me get this off my chest. Dude, here's my thing. I've spoken out vehemently against Muschamp and the coaching and the fucking merry-go-round of goddamn offensive coordinator hires, and we can never get the right person in place, and we can never do this, we can never do that. Here's my thing. I don't hate Will Muschamp. I don't hate him. I like Will Muschamp. I like old Boone. I think that he's a good guy. I think he's a good coach. He has a good football mind. And I think he could do good things. I don't think he's a good head coach. I don't think he's a good program builder and program sculptor. When you have the mold that is a bunch of clay and is a college football program, I don't think that he has the potter's hands to put on it, to shape it off the potter's wheel into a championship level team. Okay. But I don't hate Will Muschamp. If he could go out there and if all the stars could fall into alignment and, he could, win 7 or 8 games with Dak Joyner and a bunch of unprovens playing wide receiver, if Marshawn Lloyd all of a sudden becomes a fucking thunderbolt out of damn nowhere at running back, and Kevin Harris compliments him nicely with another young talent coming out of there. Who knows? What we could do. But I don't think it's gonna happen. But it could. And if it did, I'm not hating Will Muschamp. That's my thing. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate Will Muschamp. I do kind of look at things and say that history is the best indicator of what's going to happen in the future. And the history has been shit show offenses, no yards put up, losses to ranked teams again and again and again and again. And now it's become losses to Sunbelt teams again and again. And I'm not happy with that. And, I look at these feel-good, do-what-what Gamecock message boards that I get on sometimes, these Facebook pages, like, well, you should support the coach no matter who he is. And you're these fucking super fans. I'm like, no, I shouldn't. I pay money to go buy tickets, and I pay money to damn contribute to this damn thing that we call university too. And I deserve to voice my opinion about having a decent product on that football field. And if I don't think that that's the right person to lead us into battle, well, by God, I have a platform and I have a voice and I can say something about it. And I don't bitch, bemoan, or besmirch anybody else who plans to do the same damn thing. But if he starts winning some damn ball games and he starts doing his fucking job, well, guess what? I mean, I'm kind of going to be in his damn corner a little bit. And that's the way the damn cookie crumbles and the way the ball bounces.
Well, I've said this before. I've said this before, and Kale makes the point about hating people. I don't have to hate people, but the reality is that it's an X and it's a wins and losses standard. You could be a great coach and win games, or you could be a great coach and not win games, but you're going to be looked at as what have you done on that win and loss side of it there. And Muschamp, to be honest, has
wins
not done
and losses. Wins and losses are what you are measured by. You're not measured by how many lives you touched. You're not measured by how many moms that you hugged around the neck and made feel good about the way you treated their son. You're not measured by how many kids you fucking graduated. You're judged by how many fucking pieces of hardware you put in that damn trophy case and how many wins you put in a damn record book. That's what you're judged by.
I agree with you on that, and Will Muschamp is one game over 500 since he's been at South Carolina, so it's just not very good.
Is it
it's
one? Not. And you can look at that and say, well, he's at that one blowout win against Charleston Southern, which is a team that you really shouldn't have been fucking playing. He's fucking 500. He's 500.
Well, I don't have his SEC record numbers in front of me, but it's not very good when he's at South Carolina.
I wouldn't want to look at him. I'm pretty sure they'd be in the goddamn red.
They'd be in the goddamn red, of course.
It's a new day. We got Mike Bobo, new offense.
Fucking Christ. Mike Bobo,
he brings together people of all walks of life.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're right, man. Because,
yeah.
I mean, his record as a head coach is shitty.
Hold on. Did you say you were going to LSU and win? Did you say that, comrade?
If it's a week one, we're with the Baton Rouge in week one, and we're going to pound the rock with Prentice, okay, and Lloyd, and pound it and pound it, and play action with Colin Hill.
You're not going to do shit.
You heard me. And we're going to
Hold on, another statement there. Colin Hill's going to play.
I think he may start early in the year.
If Colin Hill plays for you.
Two of these people saying that he's going to start. We haven't even had our first fucking practice yet.
Comrade just said he could play. I didn't say it. The comrade did.
I think he might.
You know what? You know what would save game season?
Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah. No. We find out tomorrow. And God, I swear to you, I hope that LSU comes up first because I'm going to isolate what the comrade said. Comrade said, quote, in game one, if we get LSU on the road, we are going to pound all the ball.
Some schools
they're fucked if they don't start Ryan Helinski. Ryan Helinski has at least started against SEC defenses. I mean, he at least knows what to expect from that athletic and that schematic standpoint. I mean, you're going to start somebody who's a damn starter in fucking the damn Mountain West.
He knows Bubba's offense. He knows his offense. He might be able to help Helinski than on the offense.
Oh, okay, God.
Oh, my God. We're getting
not,
off the
ground here. He should start him. I'm just saying
he's going to get ate up like a damn box of Twinkies after
he's a game manager,
pal.
He's going to be a game manager. Boom. Short pass.
I think if you go to LSU the first game of the season, you lose by 24. Off the
LSU in week one. I want LSU in week one. Because we're
disciplined. After the one quarter.
We'll be going down there. We'll be going down there virus-free. I don't think LSU's going to be virus-free for that game. I think most of the guys
LSU. Oh my God. Comrade, once again, you're putting out things you don't know anything about. LSU has put out their COVID testing. They don't have any infections.
I think they're going to have the big head going to parties that week of the game, you know, and a few guys who missed the game. Week one, we take them out. We take them out. They can bring back Joe Burrow if they want to. It doesn't matter. Week one, we take them out. They better pray. LSU better pray. LSU better pray they get Missouri week one. LSU better pray right now. They better pray.
803-470-2905. Last call for calls this evening. 803-470-2905. The only guy I think that the Gamecocks should start is they should call out to Utah and pray that Jake Bentley would come back. That's what should happen. If we're going to start getting players from other schools and Bentley's not going to get a chance to play, bring Jake back.
All you people did was make fun of him all them last year and them talk about him hitting the golf carts and blah, 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 and all this crap. And now you're trying to act like he's the unknown hero we didn't know we had. Don't do that.
Wait, Kale, you think Kalinske's better than Bentley? You want to go with that? You want to go on record with that now?
I think he has the potential to be. I think mentally.
No, fuck off.
I think that he's probably stronger. Fuck off,
Kale, with all that. Goddamn, take a stand, Kale. Is he better or not?
You fuck off with that. That young man right there has been through more shit in his damn young life than any of us could ever hope dream of. That makes him mentally stronger. God damn it, I don't give a shit
about that. Kale, none of that fucking matters. You just said goddamn 7 minutes ago it's about wins and losses, and he ain't got many. He was throwing fucking touchdowns to himself for fucking runbacks against Missouri.
He didn't do any worse than Jake Bentley did. He played a tougher schedule. Jake Bentley didn't play than Alabama.
Sir, one third of our podcast thinks that Jake Bentley's a first round draft pick, sir.
Jake Bentley didn't throw a 75-yard pass against that damn vaunted Tennessee defense either, did he? Nah.
But Tennessee also whipped that ass.
It doesn't matter. He wasn't playing defense.
Can someone figure out what Hayward Hodge is talking about over there? Hayward Hodge, I don't know. He's talking about Mike Bono. Apparently, a guy named Mike Bono.
I don't know what the hell. Hayward Hodge can call the show. I promise you this. And by the way, Hayward Hodge, you sir, kill me because you're over here running your mouth all over the place. You won't go aboard a war here with the comrades stepping into the arena. That won't work with it at all. He's also trying to bash Kale.
Hayward Hodge, you shut up. Now I'm done with him. Go fuck yourself. And y'all stop responding to this damn troll idiot. Just act like he doesn't even damn exist anymore, and he'll damn go away.
So Fair enough.
Like a turd that won't flush. You just pretend he's not there. You keep flushing.
It's a nugget.
The thing will dissipate, and it's gone.
He's a nugget. Yeah, so you think it's yes or no? Is Bentley better than Kalinske?
What?
It's a yes or no question, though. Is Bentley better than Kalinske?
Nah. I think Ryan has the tools. He just hadn't been developed. I think he's got the tools. I think he's going to be great.
Comrade, do you want to respond to that about the guy you said that can go in the first round?
He showed flashes of it. He went out there in the third game that he ever played in his career against the damn most vaunted defense that he ever fucking faced.
Let me explain this again.
In damn Alabama, and he was slinging that damn thing all over the fucking place.
Once again. I do not think Bentley is good enough to be a legit first rounder. My point was that he could fool some GMs that think he's a first rounder and drafting him and then be a bust. Let's get that straight. And we'll go, okay. Do I think Kalinske is better than Jake Bentley? Right now it's kind of hard to say because we've only seen a little bit of him. He was hurt a lot of times too. I think he's got all the tools like Bentley does. But as Kale brought up, the one thing that Jake struggled with was confidence. Like, he would lose confidence and start aiming the ball. I haven't seen that from Kalinske. Kalinske was getting his ass packed in last year, injured, and he still was trying to fire the ball and play kind of with that kind of mindset. So I think he's tougher mentally than Bentley, and I think it's the big difference with Bentley. He was inconsistent. I mean, when Bentley was confident, I mean, he looked really good. I mean, ask Clemson. He tore you guys up. I know we got beat. That's not on Bentley. He tore you guys up. But that's when he's confident being Luke. Okay? But he couldn't do it every week. So, I mean, I think the big thing is upstairs. I think Kalinske doesn't have that confidence issues. I mean, we'll see. But the big thing with Kalinske is his footwork was pretty bad last year. I think part of that was he wasn't healthy. He got hurt early on and kept on playing.
How about played behind a shitty offensive line? Can you say that?
Well, that's the thing, too. And Bentley played
He was hurt. He didn't have the coaching.
And Bentley was hurt.
Did you have the coaching there now to develop him?
I think Bobo's good. I think Bobo's a good quarterback level. I think Bobo is not like Cox.
Excellent.
Yeah, Cox. Yeah, so I think that's true there. So, I mean, Bentley, I think what happened to Bentley, though, too, was his line wasn't great. And I think that got into his head. And all of a sudden, he started looking at the pass rush. He started kind of getting I call him the Jim Kelly nervous feet from upstate New York. You know this? When Jim Kelly started to do his little dance with the pocket, you knew a pick was coming. Okay? You knew the ball was going to end up in someone else's hands. He had the little feet going, made the little pitter-patter going, and the ball was going to get picked off. If he couldn't throw in timing, Kelly was done. And Jake Bentley kind of got that way too. And you could tell he started throwing off his back foot, which is what you do when you think you don't have time to throw the football. And a lot of times, too, he would do it when he had time. But it was so in his brain, because the line was so bad at times, that he didn't have enough time, that he would throw the ball sometimes when guys were wide open and no pass rush off his back foot and throw it to the ground. And that's a case of a quarterback just being kind of mentally kind of frazzled or rattled because of getting hit and the pass protection. So I didn't see that from Kalinske. I mean, he took a beating and didn't really have that. He kept on going. So we'll see. He's got to get his footwork under him. He's got to be healthy. And we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if I'm going to take a bet right now, do I think Kalinske will end up better than Jake Bentley? Probably. The big difference, though, is that Kalinske's got to fight for his job, too. I mean, he's got Luke Doty behind him eventually here. I know Doty's from receiver right now. So it might be a case where Doty kind of unseats Kalinske. So Bentley didn't really have much competition once he got there. He's kind of the only person we had. So,
well, P-Digits over on YouTube says, Muschamp is building up Kalinske, spelled wrong, by the way, Kale. Both sides of the mouth, bud. I mean, where am I talking about both sides of the damn mouth, sir? I mean, I honestly have said that I like Coach Boom. I like what he's doing. I just don't like the one loss record. I mean, we need to get all that shit working in synchronization. That's all I'm saying. I'm not, you know, where am I talking about both sides of my damn mouth? I don't understand that. And then, who is this? Hayward Hodge says a wimp and a blimp defending Muschamp. Nobody's defending anybody, and you don't call the comrade.
God damn it, Kale. You said not to acknowledge him, and you did. What the fuck, Kale? Kale, you said not to acknowledge him, and you fucking go away, and you did.
I'll stab him down my eyes out. I did it. Make me want to gouge my eyes out. Make me want to gouge my eyes out. I broke my own damn rules.
Right here on the show. By the way, the over and under on this thing is, I think, within 5 Facebook posts that the comrade could make Hayward Hodge cry with 5 Facebook posts. And I'm probably taking the under there. I think he could make him cry. I really do. But anyway, we'll get back at it. We'll have a full look on Wednesday. Yeah? What? I don't know if he's on Facebook or not.
I think he's got a fake book because I think he's fake.
He's fake. Brock Lee, by the way, since we've started doing this show on YouTube, Brock Lee says, Kale broke the rules like Dexter Lawrence. Brock Lee is a South Carolina fan, but he is becoming my favorite YouTube commenter. Brock, I tell you what, man. Brock puts out some good shit, and I'm getting some T-shirts printed, sir. And you will be one of the first to get a Rob Comrade and Kale Show t-shirt simply because as a Clemson fan, you actually post stuff that's in the comments section that's actually worth a shit. So
if you will make sure also go do it as well. We won't link it down here or anything because Rob's going to post this up later. Go follow my friend SEC Football Tube. That's SEC Football Tube over on YouTube. He lives in Arizona, used to live in South Carolina. He's a young dude, but he's posting up some pretty good stuff on YouTube. He did his favorite, his 10 favorite South Carolina Gamecock moments in the past decade. And pretty good shit, man. Pretty good shit. I was intrigued by it, and I liked his video that he did the other day. Very well done, sir. Thank you.
There's another couple of shows you should follow on here. One of them being Uncle Lou, which everybody follows. Fucking Uncle Lou. Follow his show, obviously. And Kale and I both are on the Uncle Lou train. The Mazodcast, which I know that I like the Mazodcast. I know that they ripped you guys, but in reality, Kale likes the Mazodcast.
Well, they ripped themselves because they've lost to us three of the past 4 years. So what the hell do they actually have to rip?
You still like the Mazodcast, Kale.
They need to stick to making fun of Kansas.
They're a fine Big Ten school, Missouri. They're a fine Big Ten school.
And the other show, of course. I like P. Digit's comments too. It's you and Broccoli.
You insulted Columbia, so I can't give you any respect. I'm sorry.
Well, and the other show that we have to mention, of course, is Pigskin Pete, who you should be following. Pigskin Pete, he puts out some great stuff as well, and Kale likes that show too.
And someone
I don't even
else
know what the fuck the comrade is.
Someone else underrated on YouTube as well. That's a Clemson fan. You go follow Bobby Durkins as Bobby Durkins over on YouTube, mm-hmm. who does some collaborations with Pigskin Pete also. He's a very entertaining individual. That's all I'm going to say about that. But you'll get some good stuff when you watch old Bobby.
Kale and I listen to essentially the same podcast. We listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts, but we kind of like some of the same YouTubers. I'm convinced the comrade sits around and listens to a bunch of fucking Yankees podcasts because he's a Red Sox fan. I don't even know what the fuck the comrade listens to. Can you enlighten us with what you listen to, comrade?
Here's the podcast I listen to. I listen to the Baseball Tonight podcast every day with Buster Olney. I listen to the Yankee podcast. I do the Michael Kay one because you have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy all times. All the time. I listen to that one all the time too. And I listen to a great one. Okay. There's a podcast that Rob Lowe does called Literally. It is fantastic. He brings up all his old co-stars at the Me Moron last week, talking about, you know, you guys are probably too young to know who Rob Lowe and Demi Moore is. But really good podcast, funny stories from Hollywood, but his cocaine stories back in the 80s. A lot of 80s stuff. I'm a big 80s person. So I like that one a lot too. Let's see. I got four kids. I can't listen to a whole lot of podcasts. So I got four kids. That's the ones I listen to.
Brock says, do you guys watch Late Kick with Josh Pate? I will add that to the list, man.
I will. That's Mr. White Shirt. Wears nothing but a white Fruit of the Loom undershirt. Has shit on YouTube, but it's pretty good. It was pretty good.
Well, the cool part, like, I've been in radio for so long now, and I remember that there was a time where there's only so many radio stations for people to go and do their thing, and a lot of them have gotten to a point now where there just aren't a lot of spots. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've got a show that I do on Fox Sports Radio every day. The comrade will tell you it's completely different from this show. You know, my show during the day is a lot more factual based and stuff like
Rob
that.
Rob uses his brain in that show. Rob doesn't be smart in this show. He's a dumbass.
It's actually a pretty good show. But you know what? I have more fun doing this podcast. So much so that I had it written into my contract that I signed with iHeart that this is a completely different entity, and I do this on my own and through my my production company that I had to make up to continue to do this podcast. But I was so adamant that I wanted to do this show because I enjoy the shit out of it. Because even before we had Kale on the show, I was doing the Comrade and I going back and forth having spirited debate was just awesome every week. But I was going to sign the podcast over to the fucking Comrade and then just come on as a guest host. But radio has gotten to the point now where it's so sanitized and it's so, like, I like to think my Fox Sports show has a little bit of an edge because I don't have a problem calling out people. But it's gotten to the point now where if you listen in Columbia, it's Homer Radio, and in the upstate, it's Homer Radio, and then it's a lot of national stuff with stuff that people just don't care about. But I'm learning that YouTube are the way to go. What you got, Kale?
I wanted to say Friday when I was listening to my friend and yours, Walt Duck Tula, up here in the upstate, somebody called in Georgia Jeff or Gamecock Joe or whoever it was that called into the show, and they asked him if they thought that the Big Ten season was officially done.
Yeah.
And Walt says, you know, I don't know that it is. I don't know that it is. I don't think it is. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think they could renege on that late into the game? I don't think so. I mean, how could you throw a schedule back out there?
I honestly don't know. I do know, from my friend that's actually a student at Notre Dame who actually covers the Notre Dame beat that some of the coronavirus numbers are going up there as students return to campus.
I think that too.
Yeah, I think that it's getting to a point now where I don't think the Big Ten's going to renege. I think they're at the point now where we're just going to be the king of the spring. That's what they're going for.
I don't think they're going to renege.
I don't know. What kind of watered down product are you going to see in the spring? I mean, when nobody else is doing it. I mean, I don't.
Well, my final question for both of you this evening is that are you going to acknowledge a spring champion if we don't have all the Power Five teams there? To me, it's like that.
Why couldn't they? We play these three damn Power Five conferences in the fall, and then plus the American Athletic and the Sun Belt, and then the spring you play the MAC and the Pac-12 and what the Big Ten, and then have a playoff after that. Is that not unfathomable?
I mean, don't know, Kale.
Somebody's gonna be a little bit rusty. But I mean, if you're all in and you're too deep, being a little rusty shouldn't bother you that much.
Ideally, you know, the Big Ten, I think they could renege on it just because there's no fans. So, like, you can change things up pretty quick. Like, baseball changed their schedule all the time right now, usually baseball, because they don't have to worry about fans. In a normal season, they don't do that because fans have bought tickets. If I had a trip planned to Boston and for August 25th through the 27th, okay, they're not going to change that game because they know people are coming to that game. But now there's no fans when they can change things around. So could the Big Ten, make a 180 and start playing the season? They could. I mean, because there's not a lot of obstacles there. But I don't think they will, but they could because there's no fans involved. There are very few fans. So that could happen. I doubt they will. I mean, the Big Ten has got to be hoping that the ACC, SEC, Big 12, that either they cancel their season coming up or that they start the season and it goes horribly wrong. Because if the ACC, SEC, Big 12, and the other conferences we talked about start playing and they get to the season and it's successful, they're going to look like crap, you know. And that's the
I kind of disagree with you, Comrade, because on the other front, it's a no lose situation on one front for the Big Ten, because they can have the adage of will the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC all have a shit show? We look good. Even if it goes bad, they can still stand on that mountain of we were concerned about the student athletes and we didn't want to make them guinea pigs in the middle of a pandemic. That's what, that's where Kevin Warren and those guys are going to stand. So I don't think it's that.
The best case scenario is we play the season as played, and then the spring goes off as well without a hitch, and someone realizes that spring college football works, and for in the future seasons we have some of the lower tier conferences move to the spring that aren't involved in national title games, so we don't have we have a spring football product, and we'll all have our own little spring team that we like, either either an Ivy League team or a team from the MAC, whatever it is, and we
get Quakers
that way. Yeah, that's the best case scenario, is that we kind of discover that, hey, why not have the smaller tier conferences play in the spring that don't compete for national titles, and they can be the spring national champions, okay? And we all know it doesn't mean the same thing, but still, you have more football year-round pretty much, and you don't have to worry about it folding like these pro leagues who try to go at it do, and it's more football for people. So that's kind of the best-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is that we cancel the fall, and the spring gets here, and the spring is still a shit show. We don't, the virus is still raging, and there's no football at all. That's the worst case scenario. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
A couple things before we get out of here. Tim Russell with the quote of the night. I was talking about my my production company, and I do have a production company. It's kind of funny. He says, "Fire that production company. The production people can't get the links out on time. You, sir, that is the comment of the night. I fucked over the comrade and Kale not sending them the link to join the show. Damn it, I suck. Yeah. My bad. I'll try to do better when we come back on Wednesday, because we'll have the full Gamecock schedule. Ladies and gentlemen, if you listened earlier in the show, we're hoping for LSU.
It's what everybody's been waiting for.
Come on. LSU, by the way, fucking goddamn. Save yourself listening to the Paul Feinbaum show, by the way. The SEC will tweet out game one right there in the right at 3 o'clock, or right about 3:15. You don't have to listen to the Paul Feinbaum show. Jerome Pruitt's right, two shows in a row. What, Kale?
Let me ask you this, sure. Rob. Noticed Pigskin Pete tweeted out yesterday and was talking about it, and for some reason this just came out of nowhere, and I knew that. He's been a big hyped up recruit, big 5-star guy. This Brian Breezy, all of a sudden, tweets about him, and that he's going to make opposing offenses, just wet their drawers all season. And I tweeted out something like, "Oh yeah, here we go. Here's the Brock Lesnar of college football 2020. I mean, well, what's the read on Mr. Breezy and what he's going to bring to the college game in 2020? Tell us all about what we should be scared of.
Well, first of all, I don't think that you should speak in that loud of a tone, because Mr. Breeze may hear you and decide to kill your quarterback.
I want
to
say
his name is Breeze, sir.
For that, I'm calling
him Breeze. Well, you can say whatever you want.
He will be a Clemson player that doesn't move to South Carolina. He may decide to eat him. So that's a tone down from what.
Breezy.
Yeah, you guys are funny, man. You're ripping a guy that's never going to lose to your team.
He sucks.
There's a bold proclamation.
He won't beat us this year. Lose to South Carolina. Lock it down. He won't touch one Gamecock this year.
He's not. He's no Jordan Birch. I'll tell you that.
That's right. He's no Birch.
Fuck out of here with all that.
Birch. I mean, close to Birch.
Wednesday. I can't.
Pronouncing names. Okay. Everyone knows I pronounce Jordan Birch's name. Okay, right there, not even close.
Wow. We have to end the show on that because it's just too much fucking stupid. Wednesday, we'll have the full breakdown of the South Carolina schedule and everybody else. Ladies and gentlemen, I will have a coronary tomorrow if LSU is the first game on the schedule for the Gamecocks, because I'm in a predominantly LSU group. They will piss themselves laughing at what the comrades said earlier today.
What are you guys doing? You have your own group, the own Clemson versus LSU group. You all trying to carry on your own circle jerk from last January.
You're talking about the college sports fanatics group. It's not that bad.
That's not bad of a group. You should join the group. I mean, Kale, you're in the group. So what the fuck? Which one do you support?
I don't talk shit, but I mean, they whipped your ass. I mean, it's
they whipped your ass. They whipped your ass.
They whip your ass. Find another ACC school to beat up on, and let's get you a Clemson versus UNC group going on, and be done with it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're all going to laugh at you if LSU and South Carolina are first tomorrow. Oh, my God. That'll be great. With that, gentlemen, this show's a wrap.
Laughing at because we're going to butt fuck them. But anyway.
You're not.